Hallelujah. We thank you so much, Jesus, for your goodness. You all stand with me this evening. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Those worshiping online with us tonight. Amen. The Janesville crew's watching with us. They're cleaning, been cleaning the past couple days. Bless you guys. It's good to have you watching with us tonight. And all our guests here, amen. We want to go before the Lord in prayer tonight for this service. We also want to pray for Pastor Roy, Sister Lois. They're just taking some personal time this week, doing some work, he couldn't make it back. So he sends his greetings. So let's pray for them. Let's also pray for Brother Hawk. As you know, he is has cancer, and they're having a doctor's appointment this coming week, end of the week, and just kind of see where they're at. So let's just believe together for a good report. Amen. Amen. So let's go before. Anybody else got a need in the house you want to indicate by a lifted hand? Amen. Amen. Look around. See somebody's lifted hand. And let's call out their name as well tonight, this evening. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, God, that we can gather together in this place, in this house, God, to worship your name, to glorify your name together as a church family, God. Lord, to hear your word, Lord Jesus, to be challenged, God, to be stirred, Lord God, to be shaken, Lord God, to grow, Lord God, leave this place, oh, with another nugget of knowledge, a line upon a different line from before, that we continue to grow in our walk with you, God. I pray, anoint this place tonight. Anoint Pastor Roy, Sister Lois, we're out of town, Lord Jesus. Lord, touch them, Lord God. We pray for Brother Hawk, Lord. We're so thankful for him, Lord Jesus. We're believing for a good report, Lord Jesus, this coming weekend, Lord God. The doctors will come back with progress have been made, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that she is in your hands, God. We trust you, Lord God. We glorify you in that regard. Lord, you saw the lifted hands, Jesus, tonight. You know the situations that everyone's facing, God. Family needs, Lord, financial needs. The situations at work, Lord, at home, at school, or the job, Lord, I pray, God, that you administer, God, in every situation, every circumstance, no matter how seemingly small or seemingly big, Lord God, you have everything in control. God, we pray you minister in this place tonight. Anoint Brother Dan as he brings your word tonight. We're thankful for your word, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Just a couple of announcements. If you're a guest of ours in this place, first time joining us in worship, we want to connect with you. So if you're here in person, you should have connected at the kiosk. We can fill out just a few points of information so that we can connect with you. If you're online, right on your screen, you see that bit.ly link. You can go there and do the same. Amen. And if you want to worship the Lord with your giving, you can do so many ways here at Calvary Gospel out there in person at the kiosk. You can mail it in, go to our website, or right through our church center app. You can give right through that. Amen. A couple announcements. This Sunday, we have our new elements classes that are the rotation that are starting. These are our classes for those who are new to the Lord. And if you're interested in becoming more grounded in Bible doctrine, we want to invite you to participate in these classes. They take place on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. in the classes portion of the day. And it's built around four modules. Elements is each containing six lessons. And we'd love to study with you. And that rotation starts this Sunday, May 7th. And so come at 10 a.m., find an usher. They'll direct you to the right class. And get plugged in with those classes. You will be blessed. Next week, Friday, May 12th, is all church prayer at 7 p.m. We're excited about that, so make plans to be there at 7 p.m. Amen. And a couple things to keep in mind. Next few days is Ladies Retreat. How many are going to Wisconsin Ladies Retreat? Amen. So say a prayer for all our ladies who are going, not just here in Madison, but those who are traveling all across the state up to the Dells, that they would be blessed, have a great time in the Lord. Also, I don't see him yet, but I see my mom back there. It is good to have my folks here worshiping with us tonight. Amen. They are veteran missionaries of 40 years, and we honor them. Amen. And it's so good to have them. And man, driving to church with no kids tonight, it was like, this is amazing. This is what newlywed. This is what Jacob and Alyssa are experiencing. Like, no kids. This is awesome. This is easy. Amen. Well, just for a couple more days, and then they'll be full of sugar and full of energy, and we'll be back at it. Amen. But we honor them tonight. Amen. Would you stand with us as our worship team begins to lead us in worship tonight? Amen. Are you thankful for the Lord? You thankful for victory in Him? Amen. Let's worship together tonight.
Holy name, Jesus. says for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus, oh Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, oh.
Strong tower, your name is healing.
Your name is power. Your name is holy. My strong, strong tower. Your wonderful name, glorious name, powerful name of Jesus, Jesus, wonderful name, glorious name, powerful name of Jesus, Jesus, speak the name. Above all other names, speak the name the wind and waves obey. All of heaven's coming down, fill the earth with the sound of the name of Jesus. Speak the name above. Of all other names, speak the name the wind and waves obey. All of heaven's coming down, fill the earth with the sound of the name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus. Oh, speak the name of Jesus.
Praise God. God is so good. You know, we say that so often, but it's so true so often. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. You did an awesome job. Now, I'm a little intimidated tonight. Someone asked me, oh, you're preaching tonight, huh? Is this going to be fire and brimstone? No, it's not. I may be fired. But no, there was a message a year ago that Brother Roy had asked me to deliver. And he wanted me to do a follow-up to that message. So tonight, if you could just amen every once in a while. I have brother and sister Demas here tonight, and I'm just a little bit intimidated, you know. They've got years and years and years of experience behind the pulpit. I got brother Phil Demas, who has been preaching a long time. So I'm a little bit intimidated, but that's okay because God is here and God gave me something. And my wife, I employed my son for tonight to read scripture, but before that I was calling individuals and I said, hey, can you read the scripture for me tonight? I'm not going to be there. I said, oh. So I called somebody else, you know. Hey, can you read the scripture for me? Oh, you know what? I'm not going to be there. And Julie goes, wow, nobody's going to be there. Is anybody going to listen to your message? I said, well, I'm going to be there, and I need to hear it. So, you know, one thing about being behind the pulpit, and I do thank Brother Roy Grant for Pastor speak. One thing about being behind the pulpit is you're transparent, and you get to hear what God's dealing with me about. And so tonight I want to deliver something that he's been talking to me about, and that is flawed to perfection. Flawed to perfection. So I'm going to need a couple of volunteers. I got two chairs up here. And all right, Brother Clayton, thanks for volunteering. Brother Phil, thanks for volunteering. Everybody give him a hand clap. It's kind of funny. Everybody's like, It's a Wednesday night. Anyway. Jordan, if you could read that first scripture for me, please. 1 Samuel chapter 24.
After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said, 'To you I will give you your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand upon him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way.
Now I have to apologize. These are plastic, and it might be a little hot for you gentlemen, but that's okay. So I've got these robes here for these gentlemen. And these robes are representative of the anointing of God. I always found this story so intriguing when I was a Bible quizzer and we memorized 1 Samuel. And, you know, the anointing of God and why, the thing that stood out to me the most is why David, why his heart was stricken when he just simply cut off a part of Saul's robe. Now, basically what happened here is Saul, and I didn't know this until I kind of dived into it a little bit, but Saul just basically went to the bathroom. He set his robe down, and all his men are saying, "Hey, the Lord has delivered Saul in your hand for such a time as this. Slay him." Now, I brought my little pocket knife. And this is what they carried in the Old Testament. I don't know if you know that. It's a replica force recon knife, okay? And what happened is he goes up to Saul. And let me see if I can do this with one. Oh, that's right. You are anointed. That's right. So I forgot that they were anointed by God. Now, this is extra virgin olive oil. I'm not going to do that. I'm just kidding. But David walks up to Saul's robe, and he just takes a piece. See if my knife works. Don't buy this on Amazon, by the way. And I don't think it was that hard, but then again, maybe it was. But he cuts off a piece, and he saves it for later. Now, normally, when I would look at a word in the Bible, and as those who speak do, we look at a word, and the word that stood out to me is the anointing of God. The anointing of God. What is the anointing of God? And I was blinded by the fact that it was oil. That the anointing of God is simply one space of time where the anointing of God flows. I may stand up here, I may get fired up, and all of a sudden the anointing of God falls. And I may say something that touches your heart. But that's not the anointing of God. And the Lord talked to me. He said, "Hey, I want you to look at something in the scripture. Before you go to Webster, before you trust Webster, I want you to look at something." Jordan, read the next scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1.
Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance?
Now, I'm not going to pour oil on you, and I'm not going to give you a kiss. Okay? Read the next scripture.
Now, the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel. About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him ruler over my people, Israel. He will deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached me.
And then I'm going, you know, there were other individuals anointed in the Bible. Let's see if they had the same kind of calling. So I went to Exodus chapter 9, or chapter 3, verse 9.
And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.
And one more scripture, Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2.
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.
And I realized, you know what? The anointing of God is simply being chosen by God for a purpose. Being chosen by God for a purpose. You see, Saul was chosen to what? Deliver Israel out of the Philistines' hands. He was also chosen as king. You look at Jonah, he was chosen. You go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to Nineveh because I'm going to destroy them. God chose Moses from a burning bush, and he said, I want you to do something for me. And you know what? All three of them doubted their initial calling. But you know what the Lord did? The Lord validated their calling. The Bible says that when Saul was anointed and he was chosen, God changed his heart. To Moses, his calling was validated when he brought the plagues upon Egypt. God says, see, I chose you. Jonah, even though Jonah was upset because God didn't destroy Nineveh, he validated his calling. And Nineveh repented because of his message. Now, I'm going back to 1 Samuel chapter 24. And I've always been puzzled, again, why? Why did his heart smite him? You guys hot? Is it hot? It's burning up? I'm going to give you some relief here in a few minutes. It's okay. Let's give him a hand. But I think David knew something, because he knew that Saul was the anointed of God. And you see, David knew not to mess with the power of God. Because you know what? There was a time when a bear went to attack his flock, and the power of God hit him, and he slew the bear. And he knew that it wasn't Saul. It wasn't the man Saul, but it was the power behind the man. Because he slew a lion. He also knew the scripture because, you know, David loved the scripture. In fact, the longest chapter in the Bible is devoted to the Word of God. He loved God's law. And maybe David knew, and when you read Psalm 119, you see that David says, blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with their heart. Now, I didn't notice this before, but when you go through the book of Psalms 119, and one of my favorite verses in the world, Brother Repka, you know, great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing! And nothing means what? Nothing shall offend them. One of my favorite scriptures. But what was really cool is that David categorized the Word of God for our easy consumption. Did you know that? He breaks it into precepts. He breaks it into statutes. He breaks it into testimonies. He breaks it into judgments. You want to know what the Word of God says? You want to know what His command is? Read the Word of God. You want to see a testimony about what happened? A principle that you and I can live by? Read the Word of God. It's in there. The judgments of God. What happens if I? And you can fill in the blank. So David knew Exodus 22:28 that says, "Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people." Hands off. David also knew the story of Miriam and Aaron when they stood up to Moses. And they said, "You know what? We hear from God just like you." And what did God do? He struck Miriam with cancer. And they had to put her outside the camp. See, David knew and David read that, look, you don't touch my anointed. Because he knew Korah and 250 princes of Israel stood up. See, God talks to us just like you. And you know the story. The earth opened up and swallowed him. And all these things David knew and he remembered. And let me tell you something, church. I love revival, okay? I love revival. I probably shouldn't carry this around. But I'm going to need it here in a minute, so please forgive me. I won't get close to y'all. I love revival. I love revival. There's nothing. I remember growing up, and when I was a kid and we had revival, we had a special speaker. And, man, we would go every night. Wasn't it, Mom? Every night. As a kid, man, that's, you do that today? thank you. Yeah, you know. Hey, tomorrow night we're going to have service, and then we're going to have it the next night, and then we're going to have it the next night. Hey, you're going to wear out the singers. You're going to wear out the preachers. But we had service every night praying for revival. But the one thing that prevents revival, church, is when you or I decide to start cutting on the Lord's anointed. Someone else, amen? Help me out here, okay? Brother Demas is watching, both of them. You want to prevent God from moving amongst us? You start cutting into the Lord's anointed with your mouth, with your words. You know that pastor? Isn't Brother Roy a plumber? I mean, come on. He's a plumber? Now he's a pastor? And all of a sudden you just feel called by God to come up and go, "Hey, I'll just take this piece. Sorry, I'll be careful. And you take that piece." And you know, you get in that comfortable situation. And I know how it goes. Trust me, I know how it goes. Again, I'm preaching to myself. But you get in that comfortable conversation. You start talking. You go, "You know, Roman, Brother Phil, you know, I remember way back before he was saved. Blah, 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 blah." Are you all following what I'm saying? "You know, I'm just saying because I care. I'm just saying it because I'm concerned. I mean, look at this sanctuary. And I think Brother Simmons he's supposed to be taking care of this place." And all of a sudden we just feel it's okay to start carving in to the man of God that delivers the word of God. Again, church, it's not the man. It's the God behind the man. Look, I'm flawed. Hey, I am flawed. We are all flawed. And you know what? That's who God chooses. The flawed ones. The ones whose hair is not in place. The ones who stutter. The ones who get upset because God doesn't do what they want. The ones who flee God after they're called. That's who God chooses. But more than that, in fact, I think David hated it so much, he started out Psalm 1:1 with what? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look, you be very careful with your tongue when it comes to the man of God. Be very careful. Because on Saturday night, if you decide to have the pastor for dinner and all the ministerial staff for dinner, and then you come up here on a Sunday morning, God didn't move Sunday morning like he usually does. I wonder why. And you know, worse than that, and you know, I can sit here and I can rip up this, and thank you, Brother Phil. I'm sorry, I know this is really hot, but I want you to stay here. And you notice I've been pointing out the ministry. I've been pointing out the ministry a lot. And it's true. But you know what else the Bible says? Read it, Jordan, 1 Peter.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
God chose you. 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 You're a chosen generation, and he called us to a purpose. He called us to a purpose. But you know, worse than that, you wonder, well, why you bring that up? I purposely asked Tara to put that subtitle on my name. Because I know when I went to that pulpit, there were some saying, oh, that's just Dan. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I know that. I mean, what a bummer, a two-syllable name, Dan Powell. It's not cool like Phil Demas. You know? Tara goes, well, why don't you just call yourself Powell? I can't do that. Can't do that. But you are chosen. You know, on the day of Pentecost, thousands and thousands were saved, and they were chosen. They were chosen for a purpose. Listen, you didn't just get up here and get the Holy Ghost to feel good. We don't come to church just because someone's going to preach something we like and we feel good and God gives us his spiritual hug. We walk away and everything's cool and copacetic. See you Sunday. Not how it works. You are chosen. Everybody say chosen. Everybody say, I am chosen. And you know, I never noticed this before, Brother Demas. But you know, one of the worst things, I forgot my knife. I need my knife. Gives me confidence. But one of the worst things we do is we take the knife to ourselves. And we take the knife to the calling God has called you to do. You see, the subtitle are all those things I wrestle with. You see, as a kid, I was one of those. Dan's left. Okay, let's go. You're on my team. I was one of those kids. And you know what it did to me? It put the knife in my hand. Someone else didn't need to do it. I was doing it to myself.
In fact, you'll see this. Jordan, read the next scripture, please.
Now Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, "Where have you been?" "Looking for the donkeys," he said. "But when we saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel." Saul's uncle said, "Tell me what Samuel said to you."
Hold on. Tell me what Samuel said to you. Go on.
Saul replied, "He assured us that the donkeys had been found, but he did not tell his uncle what Samuel had said about the king."
Are you kidding me? You're the king. Are you kidding me? You got the Holy Ghost. You got refilled. And you won't even tell your family? I'm a king. Do you realize that? I'm a king. God has called me for a purpose. Next scripture.
Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people." Then the people shouted, "Long live the king."
Long live the king. Everybody say, "Long live the king." Hey, what a booster. Hold it there, Jordan. What a booster. Long live the king. Woo! Phil's our king. Phil's our king. Now, wouldn't you be encouraged by that a little bit? I mean, that'd be cool. Phil's our pastor. Phil's our pastor. Woo! And we give honor to these men. Keep reading, Jordan.
Samuel explained to the people that the rights and duties of kingship. He wrote them down on a scroll and deposited it before the Lord. Then Samuel dismissed the people to go out to their homes. Saul also went to his home in Gibeah.
Saul went home accompanied by what?
Valiant men whose hearts God had touched. But some scoundrels said, "How can this fellow save us?"
What? Are you talking against the king? You see my valiant men? How dare you talk against the king? You know, I'm guessing that Brother Phil Demas could have said, "Beat these guys up. What couple scoundrels." Keep going.
They despised him and brought him no gifts.
No gifts! Keep going.
But Saul kept silent.
Saul kept silent.
Just continue. His self-doubt. The king anointed by Israel. He just kept it to himself. Next scripture.
The people all said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God."
Okay, here we go. Wait a second. You know, this is, I got to tell you, this struck me as very odd. But Samuel stands up before all of Israel and he says, "Look, this is my farewell speech. I'm going. I'm leaving. You know, I've been a judge for so long and it's time for me to go. Now, whose ox have I taken? Whose money have I stolen?" Great speech. He wasn't finished yet. Go ahead, Jordan.
"Pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die. For we have added to all other sins the evil of asking for a king."
Okay, I got the king. I got the king right with me. And Samuel scolding the people for choosing the king. And all of Israel says, "We've added a sin by asking for a king." How do you think Saul felt about that? How do you think he felt? You know, I'm a result of the sins of Israel. See, I don't need you to talk about me because I'm just doing it myself. I'm just doubting myself. And you know what? You want another reason why we don't have revival? It's because we doubt our calling. You know what our first calling is? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, win souls. God sent persecution. Because, you know, they were all huddled around feeling good. But you got to go do something. Be a witness. I have a man who comes by my circle. He's got a big old dog, about this big, could swallow me whole. Named Zoe and Troy, and I talked to him. And we, you know, we just met. And he came by and he talked to me and just unsatisfied with life. But you know what I failed to do? I failed my calling. And that was to tell him Jesus cares about you. Come to church. Listen, if you're not comfortable, let Brother Phil preach to him. If you're not comfortable, let Brother Simmons preach to him. But bring him to church. That's our calling. That's our calling, church. Read the next scripture.
Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribe of Israel?
Listen, because you're small, look, you're the king. But you looked at yourself as small. And listen, every one of you need to hold your head up high. Square your shoulders. I'm a child of God. The Bible says to make your calling and election sure. Let's all stand. As the musicians come, you know, I got a glimpse and I was going to tell Brother Seidel, yeah, take that off or he's going to faint. Thank you. You know, Brother Seidel, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. You know, I was talking to Brother Seidel the other night. And you know, now, don't take this wrong. But I have never seen so much joy in his heart as he told me what God's doing in McFarland. Do you know why? Because he's doing his calling. He's doing his calling. Listen. You know, I said in my one of the scriptures, great peace. Right, Brother Repka? Great peace. Have they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Don't be offended by this, Brother Rossing. But God didn't call you to be a plumber. He called you to save souls as a plumber. And you know, you all can fill in the blanks. Brother Calvin, he didn't call you to be HVC and own your own business. He called you to win souls, be HVOC, and own your own business. He didn't call you to go to college and be real smart. He called you to win souls, go to college, and be real smart. Because you're chosen. You're chosen. You're handpicked by God. You want to bring revival back to this church? Embrace your calling. Don't cut yourself up. Don't doubt. You know, I don't preach like so-and-so. You know, I can't sing like so-and-so. I can't play like Maddie. I can't play like Bryce. I can't do sign language like Jennifer. You know, I'm not as good. And all of a sudden, you just start cutting up the anointing of God on your life until you just don't want to do anything. And you'll find that Saul stooped himself in rebellion to God. Why? Because his self. He couldn't accept that God made you king. I said in the early scripture that, look, he was called to deliver Israel from the Philistines. You find out in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he had his opportunity against Goliath. He had his opportunity to make amends and didn't. He passed it off on the next king who was small in stature and just a shepherd. Look, you're not damaged goods, church. You're chosen by God. Brother Rick Wells, you're special. Brother Neesom, you're special. Brother Brad, he didn't call you to do lawns and lawn care. He called you to win souls and do lawn care. And when you start winning souls, when you start doing the primary, God will help you with the secondary. I invite you tonight to come to the altar. Embrace your calling. You're chosen by God. Hallelujah. Let's gather around the altar. Let's thank God for what he's done in our lives. Thank you, Jesus.
You are good when there's nothing good in me. You are love. You are love on display for all to see. You are light. You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope. nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. My heart will see no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will see no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will see no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will see.
Amen. Go with the Lord tonight. What a word. Amen. You're thankful for the word. What a challenging word. Amen. Be in prayer for ladies' retreat, and we will see you Sunday, 10 a.m. Hallelujah.